It is time for the Midnight Movie Reviews. Colin Suter, Eric Childress from eFilmCritic.com join us. We've got movies to talk about, and there's an awards ceremony that's happening tomorrow night at the Movie Co. Theater, and on-demand stuff, so let's welcome the guys here. Hey, Colin.
Hello there.
And Eric. Hello, guys.
Hello.
All right. So listen, why don't we start with Eric, why don't you tell us about what's happening tomorrow? The big CFCA Awards show is happening at the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. And people can get their tickets at MovieCo.com. Tell us about what's going on, who's going to be there. There's stars. There's all kinds of cool stuff happening. Give us all the details on that.
Well, you heard it here. At 7:30 tomorrow night at the Movie Co. in Rosemont, the Chicago Film Critics Association are putting on their annual award show. Where we'll be handing out all the sort of the official trophies to all of the winners. We're hoping to have some people show up. We have some people doing video acceptances. We have some special guests lined up to be special acceptors. And also, our guest of honor is going to be Jane Lynch, who is going to we're giving a special prize for comedy, our Comedia Extraordinaire Award. And just confirmed this week, we're giving a special award to Paul Sorvino, who will be there tomorrow night.
Nice.
The great Paul Sorvino. And like I said, there are surprise guests. There are people that I don't even know about who might be showing up. One very special person that actually I'm going to be introducing is Corey Kakua, who is one of the subjects of Kirby Dick's film, The Invisible War.
Yeah.
She's going to be there to accept the prize for Best Documentary. We're very excited about that. And if you're interested in attending the show, there aren't very many tickets left. We have pretty much sold out.
Wow.
Movie Co. for tomorrow night.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, the theater that has the balcony seating and whatnot, one of their larger auditoriums. The lower section is apparently completely sold out, and there's still a few tickets left up in the balcony where the critics will be sitting. So if you want to sit with us, by all means, still go to themovieco.com, and you can still probably get the last few that are there. So we hope it's going to be a very special evening again, so please join us.
All right, there you go. And that's tomorrow night at the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. Now, you guys had an event tonight, didn't you, at the Movie Co.?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now tell us about that. Colin, you were there as well?
Yeah. It was part of the thing we did with Columbia College, Emerging Filmmakers, and we watched, I think, 11 short films from students at Columbia College and gave awards out to a few of them. And, it was a pretty strong group of movies, really. I was quite impressed with what we saw there.
Awesome.
And a lot of the filmmakers turned up, a lot of critics turned up. It was a really terrific night.
Yeah, the winner received a $5,000 check from Columbia College and the CFCA. And their film is going to be screened tomorrow night as part of the film festival, as part of the film awards.
Wow. All right. That's great, man. That is great. All right. Well, I'm glad that's turning out to be successful.
So we're very happy about it.
It's going to be a fun night. All right. So
the Movie Co. Has pretty much been like a second home to me this week. I was at Adventureland on Tuesday and this thing tonight and tomorrow night at the CFCA Awards.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I feel like I should have a room there or something.
Yeah. I felt that way last August because of the flashback convention, and
yes,
I had I believe that was the month I showed. Was it Big Trouble?
It was July, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Big Trouble. Yeah. So it was, mm-hmm. I was there for that, and then we had I know what you're going through, Colin. You've been there a lot.
Yeah.
But it's a great place. Check out MovieCo.com for all the information. All right, let's do this. Let's talk first about some of these on-demand movies.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there's three of them that we need to talk about. You've seen one, so let's cover these other ones first and get that out of the way, and then you can do a review. What the hell is Spiders?
What do you think it's about, Nick?
I'm guessing spiders.
There you go. This is a film. It was directed by Tibor Tekkas.
What?
Does that name ring a bell to you?
The Gate, baby.
That's the right.
Did he also do I, Madman?
Yes, he did.
I love this guy.
Yes, he did. Well, he's done pretty much a lot of TV, a lot of sci-fi type schlock since then. And I guess in if you can find this movie in theaters, which I don't believe it's here in Chicago, it is actually in 3D. But on demand, it's just spiders. It has this the description for it is fantastic. After a Soviet space station crashes into a New York City subway tunnel, a species of poisonous spiders is discovered, and soon they mutate to gigantic proportions and wreak havoc on the city.
Nice.
Because you needed the Soviet space station to crash to find the spiders. They couldn't come up with anything, you know, a little less complicated than that.
Uh-huh. All right.
So,
well,
you know, and it's got, what? It's got Patrick Muldoon from Starship Troopers.
Okay.
In it, so.
Oh, and Krista Campbell. She's hot.
Yeah, she's
been
yeah.
in a bunch of horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
All right. With The Last Gladiators.
I'm surprised you haven't seen this.
Why is that?
Because it's about hockey.
Oh, it is?
It's about hockey. It's about goons.
Wait a minute.
And it's directed by Alex Gibney.
Oh, my God. This is a documentary about goons. I just looked it up.
Yes.
Oh, see, all right then. And this
I know
is,
what you're doing at 2 in the morning.
You got that right, pal. Wow, okay. This now I'm very excited.
There you go. The Last Gladiators, it's called.
Last Gladiators, documentary directed by Alex Gibney about hockey goons. Well, okay. Yeah. My, you know what? My plans are complete for the evening.
There you go. You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Okay. All right, and Would You Rather is the one that you saw. Would You Rather. These are all, by the way, all these movies are available on demand.
Yes. Would You Rather is a story. It stars Brittany Snow as a young woman who takes care of her brother who has sort of a deliberate illness. Not doing too well, needs an operation. She can't really find work, so she doesn't really have money for this operation. She ends up meeting this guy who is in charge of a corporation who invites people over to dinner to play a game. And if you win this game, all of your problems financially will be solved.
Mm.
Now, when you get this invitation and it's signed Jeffrey Combs, you might want to think twice about doing it. So basically, you got Brittany Snow, you got Sasha Grey, you got a few other people, all these people invited over to Jeffrey Combs' house for dinner. He doesn't play himself. I'm just joking around a little bit. But Jeffrey Combs plays this, you know, this sort of this madman with a lot of money and a lot of servants. Plays a game of Would You Rather. Now, I'm sure you've played this game
absolutely.
Before.
We would call it, well, Would You Rather, yeah. We did a variation of it where it was very specific. And it was
ticket, right?
We did Cliff or Norm.
Cliff or Norm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was very specific. Like, who would you have sex with? It was one of the.
There you go.
And we called it Cliff or Norm because you don't want to have sex with either of them.
Right.
But, you know, it's
well,
like.
You know, these people that go to this dinner, you know, and Jeffrey Combs, you know, basically gives you, so I'll give you $10,000 if, you know, you're a vegetarian, you eat that steak.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad for 10 grand. But then it gets a little weirder and a little worse. And basically all these people are sort of competing for their lives. Would you rather do this or would you rather, you know, stab this person in the thigh?
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
And you
cool.
know something? Yeah. I dug this movie.
Yeah, it sounds good.
I dug this movie, and I put it squarely on the shoulders of Jeffrey Combs, who hasn't had this much fun in a long time.
Oh, good.
This is classic Jeffrey Combs, like a really fun performance. The movie, and I give the movie credit because while, you know, I love stories, you know, 10 Little Indian stories like that.
Sure.
And the film obviously, you know, plays a little bit off the Saw genre. I give this movie some credit that it really lets you use your sort of imagination with it. It doesn't go so overboard with the gore to where it's, you know, it's just going to like, oh, okay, this is just going to be blood for blood's sake.
Yeah.
They really, you know, whether it was a budget issue or they just decided not to show everything, they really sort of like let your imagination run wild with the possibilities of what's going on in this room. And so I give the movie credit for that, and it works. So definitely check this one out because I had a lot of fun with it.
Okay, cool. All right, Would You Rather? Well, it sounds great. I mean, as soon as you say Jeffrey Combs, I light up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
in a leading role too.
Yeah,
I mean, he's tremendous in it. It's hilarious.
All right, awesome. All right, well, those are the on-demand movies. Would You Rather? Eric says is a lot of fun. Jeffrey Combs going nuts. Spiders, giant spiders running around killing everybody. And then I'll be watching this at roughly 2:20 this morning when I get home. The Last Gladiator is a documentary about hockey goons. And how did I not know about this movie? I don't know. But these are all available on demand. Okay. We got some movies that are in theaters that we're going to talk about, and we'll get to those in a second. You guys hang on, all right? Colin and Eric are with me, and it's the Midnight Movie Reviews. And if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. Midnight Movie Reviews, that's what we're doing right here. And we discuss all the new movies. We've got some big ones to talk about tonight. And Eric Childress and Colin Suter from eFilmCritic.com always join me. And before we get to our reviews here, we're getting kind of close to the news. What do we know? This is a documentary called Stolen Seas. None of us have seen it. But this is about Somali pirates? Is that the?
Yes.
What do we know about this?
That's all I know. That's pretty much.
Know.
I haven't seen the movie. I don't know anyone that has seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's precisely what it's about.
It got a pretty great review in The Reader.
Okay.
It's playing at Facets right
mm-hmm.
now, it just opened today. But it got a really interesting review in The Reader. I read that on the train coming down today. And it intrigued me. And you don't know anybody who's seen it. I was going to ask if
right.
anybody like any film critic had ran a review of it or anything.
Yeah, I don't know if it played any film festivals. I'll have to check on that.
Okay. All right. Well, it opened at Facets this week. Let me ask you, are either of you guys watching The Following?
No.
No?
Nope.
Colin, you're not watching it?
Nope.
Oh, man. Okay. Because it's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
That's not what I heard. That's why I didn't start watching.
Oh, I like it. I think it's
okay.
Cool. I think it's very, very well. I'm a Poe fanatic, and I will say this: Kevin Williamson, who has written pretty much every episode and created the show so far, or written every mm-hmm. episode so far and created it, he read a lot more Poe than whoever the hell wrote The Raven, whoever the hell wrote that movie. So I mean, like within the first 20 minutes of the pilot. It was more exciting and more Poe-like than a movie starring a character, Edgar Allan Poe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, clearly Kevin Williamson loves Poe, knows Poe, and, I mean, the references are fantastic. So I like it probably more than most people.
Okay.
Simply because of that.
Right.
Like, there's a guy running around in a creepy Poe mask, okay? Like, dressed up like Edgar Allan Poe with a Poe mask on, setting people on fire.
Nice.
I'm just like, yeah, okay, that's fantastic. So I didn't know whether you guys were watching it or not. Let me ask you this really quickly before we break. I know, Eric, you watch Community.
Yes.
Colin, do you watch it?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you see the new episode with that was on last night?
Not yet, no, unfortunately.
Colin, okay. I'm not going to – Eric, I know you haven't seen it, so I won't give anything
right.
away. But let me just say this. It felt like someone trying to do a Community episode. That's how I
agree.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Dan, I was wondering what was going to happen. You know, you got new showrunners and new writers. This is to me, it seemed like a bunch of writers really attempting to do a Community show, but mm-hmm. not doing it.
Yeah.
So you agree with me, Colin?
Yeah, it seemed really directionless, and it seemed like, you know, like they're trying to do all the greatest hits kind of a deal in an episode that really just lacked, like I said, a direction.
Yep. Eric, I'm really curious. When you watch it, let me know.
Because sounds like Elaine trying to write a Murphy Brown.
Yeah, it just seemed like, okay, this is we took over for a Community. This is what Community is, and we're going to do. It's like Rich Little doing...
Mm.
You know, somebody trying, you know, it's that kind of thing.
That makes me sad.
It made me sad watching it. I mean, a couple of funny moments. It wasn't horrible.
Yeah.
But it just felt forced, and it didn't feel like an actual, didn't have the real core of what Community was about. It felt like a weak imitation.
Great.
So I was disappointed. All right. Sorry to disappoint you.
Damn it.
All right, we'll go to the news, and then we'll review the rest of the movies. Eric and Colin are with me, and if you want to join us, it's 312-981-7200. News next. All right. Yeah. It is the Midnight Movie Reviews, and this is when Eric Childress and Colin Suter join me every Friday night in the midnight hour to review all the new movies, the stuff that's on demand, anything that's out that's special, and, of course, the movies that have just opened in the movie theaters themselves. If you saw any movies, you have a movie question or a review of your own, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, and we welcome Colin and Eric back to the show. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Colin, tell us about Identity Thief.
Okay. So Jason Bateman plays a family man who works for a big financial firm. And at the very beginning of the film, he gets a phone call from a woman claiming that his identity has been stolen, and she needs some key information from him to, you know, verify who he is and all that. Little does he know he's talking to an actual identity thief played by Melissa McCarthy. And a few weeks later, he finds his credit cards have been maxed out, and he's in trouble for some lewd and destructive behavior that took place in Florida, where she is. He's in Colorado. And he's on the verge of being fired for all of this, just as he's in line for a bigger, higher-paying position. And in order to save himself, he takes off for Florida in hopes of finding this person and trapping her and bringing her back to Colorado to prove that he's innocent of all of this. And while he gets there, he finds her, and wackiness ensues, and eventually they share a road trip together on their way to Colorado, where the usual mishaps take place in, that you expect from a road trip movie. There are also, meanwhile, two sets of bounty hunters after her for various reasons, other identity thief type reasons. So the storyline is somewhat similar to Midnight Run. Instead of a crooked accountant, it's an identity thief, and you know, of course, they hate each other at the beginning, and their relationship is supposed to change as it goes along. There are so many problems with this movie. I don't really know where to start. So I'll start with Bateman's character. He's a complete moron. Every choice this character made drove me nuts. There's no reason for this road trip to have taken place other than the movie wants it to happen. There are so many instances where he should have just called the police on her and turned her in, and that would have been the end of it. But that never happens. So instead, you know, we got to suffer through this road trip where the characters that are established change their personalities on a dime. There's so many inconsistencies with who these characters are. The arc that is supposed to take place between these two characters is, like, so incredibly forced, so awkward, not the least convincing. We're eventually supposed to work up sympathy for Melissa McCarthy's character, which I found impossible. She's an identity thief. She's ruined countless lives. So obviously this was written by somebody who's never had their identity stolen before. I've been in that situation, not to the extreme that this character has. It's a scary thing. You know, so for me to buy into Jason Bateman's character suddenly warming up to Melissa McCarthy and having sympathy for her is impossible to swallow. And it just made me hate this movie so much. It's directed by Seth Gordon, which, man, this guy's got a mixed-up resume. He made the great documentary The King of Kong and the really funny movie Horrible Bosses, but then he did Four Christmases and now this. So but it, this shouldn't surprise me since it was also written by Craig Mazin, who wrote a bunch of the scary movies, Hangover 2, you know, superhero movie. So, you know, this guy, he's a real scribe. I hated Identity Thief so much. I laughed once, and I'll just give away the joke because I don't want people to go see it. I'll save you the money when Melissa McCarthy says, "I visually enjoy you." That made me laugh. Nothing else made me laugh, and this movie sucks.
Okay. Wow. All right. See, now I didn't see this one. I didn't get a chance to see this one. So.
Oh, Nick.
Yeah. I chose the Soderbergh movie today. So. Anyway, so Eric, tell us about Identity Thief.
Yeah, this is positively one of the worst films of the year. And as my continued quest to prove to people who piled on movie 43, whether you slightly enjoyed it like I did or you think it's really bad, this is proof positive that it's not even close to being the worst film released in the first 2 months or ever. Because Identity Thief is much worse. And I'm so happy that Colin mentioned the complete stupidity of the Jason Bateman character. I actually took my mom to see this movie today. And after the second decision that Bateman makes where he quits his job and magically, jumps into a firm that apparently it's the greatest startup firm in the history of mankind because everyone quits their job Jerry Maguire style, and they immediately have, like, a complete office building with name tags and all kinds of stuff. It's just ridiculous. And he's so right that, I mean, this movie does not exist in the real world. I mean, the decisions that the cops make in this movie make absolutely no sense, where they're all sort of, we'll blame the protagonist first and then do the investigation later. You know, that's the kind of, the stuff that's going on in this movie. There's not a single laugh in this movie. Even I didn't even realize that was a joke, Colin, actually, the visually thing. I didn't laugh once during this movie. Melissa McCarthy, who is, usually so great, just plays just such a hateful character here. And I think this movie's proof positive when you look at Seth Gordon's resume of that Horrible Bosses, which I thought was a pretty badly directed movie that was saved by a cast that just completely threw themselves into it. It was just such a great cast working so well together, and I think that this movie is proof positive that movie is owned by the cast of that movie, because this movie certainly isn't. It'll probably be on my worst list at the end of the year.
Wow. I had a weird feeling about this when I saw that when I started to see the commercials and the trailers for this movie. And of course they're advertising it from the director of Horrible Bosses, which made me happy because I think Horrible Bosses is hilarious.
And, it's a funny movie.
And I watch it all the time when it's on cable. There was just something about this trailer where I was like, man, this just doesn't feel right. And I had only time to see one film today, and I chose the Soderbergh movie. So, I'm not going to see this. I was going to see it. I was going to try and check it out, but those are just
too long, too. Colin, isn't it like 110 minutes or something like that?
It's a good 2 hours, and nothing happens in it that'll surprise you. When you think road trip comedy, okay, there's got to be at least one scene where the car is destroyed. There's got to be at least one scene where they're sleeping somewhere where they like in the woods or something. Everything you expect to have happen in a road trip comedy happens here. There's like no surprises in it whatsoever.
Is it worse than Due Date?
Yes.
It's worse than Due Date.
Yes.
It is worse than Due Date.
Oh, my
Due
God.
Due Date at least had a couple laughs.
Well, Due Date did have Downey in it, and it did have Downey punching the kid.
Yes.
That, right.
Exactly.
Right.
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 There's your laugh. Yeah,
right. Yeah. I still think that's...
This is like extra depressing because you got two actors at the center of it who are normally reliably very funny.
Yes.
And when this happens, and it's just so depressing. I mean, I was trying to think of other movies where you got two really funny people at the center of it, and something just went completely wrong, and it's not the least bit funny. And I kept thinking of Harlem Nights.
Oh.
And I'm sure.
Uh-huh. Harlem Nights is better.
No, I don't know if that's possible. I haven't seen Identity.
Arsenio Hall in Harlem Nights is funnier than anything in this movie.
I hated Harlem Nights with every fiber of my being.
I know most people did, but that's the kind of thing. That's the kind of movie this is. You know, where it's like you look at the two people on the poster, and you think, how can this lose? And boy, does it lose.
That's too bad. That's too bad.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, if you've got Netflix, you'll be able to watch Arrested Development soon.
There you go.
Yeah. So let's look at it. Let's look at it that way. all right. You can always go back and watch Melissa McCarthy as Suki. You know,
right?
She's always going to be Suki. I don't care.
Suki, not Suki.
Yeah, Suki.
Yeah. You got to make sure people think you're talking about True Blood.
Right. I know. I understand. all right. All right. Well. All right. Let's take a quick break, and we got a couple more movies here to review on WGN. That's disappointing. Those are funny people. All right, Colin and Eric are with us, and Identity Thief, terrible movie is what they think. We've got a couple more movies to review, and if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. These are the themes of the Midnight Movie Reviews. Every week, Colin and Eric and I get together and review all the movies for you so you can make a decision on what you're going to see. We also review the on-demand movies. Colin and Eric, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. By the way, Colin, did you get my text?
Yes, I did. I'm sorry, I didn't reply. I think I can do that.
All right. Well, here's what we're doing. Eric, I don't know what you're doing. What are you doing Monday night, Eric?
What am I doing Monday night? I don't know.
Because Sound City is playing at the patio.
Oh, okay.
Sound City, I'm going to have Dimitri from the patio on with me tomorrow night. They've showed it tonight at 10, they're showing it tomorrow at 10, and they're showing it Monday night at 7:30.
Oh, okay.
So, and I asked Colin if he was going to go, and I don't know what I'm definitely going.
Okay.
So, let's go. We should go.
Yeah.
Patio Theater, is showing it. This is we talked about this briefly. Last week, it's just a special showing that they're going to be doing at the patio theater. They showed it tonight at 10. They're showing it Saturday night at 10 and Monday night at 7:30. This is the Dave Grohl documentary about this infamous studio, this music studio, recording studio facility that is in Van Nuys, California. And everybody who's ever made a record is in it. Is basically it. So it's this music documentary directed by Dave Grohl about this legendary music and recording studio. And it's supposed to be great, and it's playing at the patio. Tomorrow night at 10 o'clock you can see it, and Monday night at 7:30 you can see it. It's part of a benefit, and it's only $7 to get in. And the Patio Theater is a beautiful, beautiful theater in Chicago at Irving Park and Austin. Irving Park and Austin, beautiful old theater. They reopened it, and it's fantastic. It's a beautiful place to see a movie. Stars and clouds on the ceiling and all that, you know, all that great stuff. Just old opulent theater. And Sound City, the documentary that Dave Grohl made about this music studio, is showing tomorrow night at 10. I should say tonight at 10, Saturday night at 10, and Monday night at 7:30. So there you go. All right. Well, good. We got something to do then on Monday night. Yeah. All right. Well, let's quickly do this one. Eric, it's officially out. Don Coscarelli is in town. Don Coscarelli was at the Music Box tonight. He'll be at the Music Box tomorrow. Writer-director Don Coscarelli, who made Phantasm and The Beastmaster and Bubba Hotep and many other films. His new movie is called John Dies at the End. We reviewed it a couple of times. Eric, what festival did you see it at, Eric?
I saw it at Sundance last year.
So last year, Eric saw it at Sundance. John Dies at the End. I saw it on demand. We reviewed it a few weeks ago when it debuted on demand, but now it's out. It's playing at the Music Box, and you can see. You don't have to see. It's playing regularly at the Music Box. Tonight was tonight and tomorrow night were the nights that Coscarelli was going to be there, but that's not the only time they're showing it. It's got regular show times. John Dies at the End. Coscarelli's new movie. Eric, let's do this one kind of quickly.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably describe this movie a little better than I can, having seen the more recent cut of it. Mm-hmm. But there's two guys. There's like a new drug on the street that allows you to go into different dimensions. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of the main characters is being interviewed by a journalist played by Paul Giamatti. And he spins this really crazy, fantastical tale about alternate dimensions and weird monsters. And let's see, like a weird preacher played by Clancy Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Okay, I'm getting.
Well, he's also
making this up as I go along.
He's kind of he's more in the David Blaine, Chris Angel,
yes,
category.
Right.
He's that kind of dude,
right?
And there's this drug called soy sauce, is what they call it,
right?
And
right.
These two slackers get involved in it, and they end up going to different dimensions, and all kinds of craziness happens. A whole freezer full of frozen meat comes together and becomes
mm-hmm.
a monster. Yeah. The opening scene in the movie he gets an axe at a hardware store. He's got to kill somebody with it, and it that just sets the tone. So,
the tone at least is certainly consistent. I mean, it probably gets crazier as it goes along, and that is about halfway through where I think you and I kind of defer on the movie. Is that I think that the first half, the first 45 minutes, are a lot of fun, pretty strong. And then the second half, it just completely just goes off the rails. Some people might like that. I couldn't quite go along with it because part of me, I just didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Yeah. Oh, I'll admit that. There were times when I was like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
But I liked it. Well, and again, Eric, as you know, it's considerably shorter now than what you saw.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, the version that's out now, it's 100 minutes now. Or like,
yeah,
it's like 98 minutes now. And so, and you know, and I can see if it went on another, you know, how long was it when you saw it?
I think it was like 108.
Okay, so it's 10 minutes shorter now. It's 10 mm-hmm. minutes shorter. So I can see 10 more minutes of what where it was going.
Yeah.
Being a little much.
Right. I'm guessing in that second half is where they trimmed the 10 minutes.
Yeah, I would imagine. I would imagine so.
Mm-hmm.
But you enjoyed half of it.
The first half, I think I quite enjoyed.
Yeah, I like the whole thing. It is twisted. It's crazy. It's Don Coscarelli, and I love his sensibility. I always give Don Coscarelli's movies a little bit more of a chance because Phantasm is such a seminal movie for
mm-hmm.
me. But I thought it was great. I think Paul Giamatti's really hilarious in this.
Yeah,
Giamatti's got an executive producer credit on this, and I interviewed Don Coscarelli a couple of weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to work with Giamatti on another movie next.
Yeah,
I guess they like get along like famously now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because I was like, how did you end up hooking up with Paul Giamatti? And Paul Giamatti evidently lost his mind over Bubba Hotep.
There you go.
And so Paul Giamatti saw Bubba Hotep, and they were interviewing Paul Giamatti for one of the big movies that Paul Giamatti now does. And they're like, are there any directors? The person asked him this question. Are there any directors that you really would like to work with? And he goes, yeah, Don Coscarelli.
Nice.
Like, of all the directors that Paul Giamatti could work with, he picks Don Coscarelli.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great story. But anyway, I thought John Dies at the End was fun. It's insane. It's certifiably insane. And yes, Eric, there are many moments in the movie where I didn't know what the hell was going
right.
on, but I was having a really good time.
At least I'm not the only one.
No. I fully admit it. Hey, there's still things in Phantasm, and that movie's 40 years old,
right.
And there's still things in Phantasm. I go, what the hell was that? But I love it. John Dies at the End, you can get it on demand, but it's playing at the Music Box, and Don Coscarelli will be at the screening tomorrow where they will be showing that and Phantasm 2.
Yeah,
so,
if you can't get to the Film Critics Awards tomorrow night, go see that.
Go see John Dies at the End. Don Coscarelli, a great guy, too. Like
terrific.
Incredibly sweet man, and I think a really special and unique and weird talent. So,
mm-hmm.
All right, you guys, hang on. We've got a Steven Soderbergh movie to review, and from what I understand, the last Steven Soderbergh movie we'll ever review. Yeah, I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah.
All right, hang on a second. It's Colin. It's Eric. It's the Midnight Movie Reviews. News is next, and then we will review Side Effects. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. Midnight Movie Reviews continue. We got one more movie to review. Side Effects. Colin and Eric are with me from eFilmCritic.com. Coming up, we got Drunks in the News, brought to you by the Gale Street Inn, the greatest restaurant on the planet. We thank George and everybody at the Gale Street Inn. We got Straight Out of Context and Nick D Show Spies. But we welcome Colin and Eric back to the show. Hello, guys.
Hello. Hello.
All right, before we jump into Side Effects, this is Leslie in New York on WGN. Hi, Leslie.
Hello.
Hi, what's up?
Well, it's really snowy here, but...
Oh, yeah, you're in New... Oh, yeah, you guys are getting hit pretty bad, huh?
I've been inside most of the day.
Oh, man.
A few weeks ago, a friend of mine asked me to go see John Dies at the End, but I had never heard of it, read the book, and I'd never seen a Don Cusk.
Oh, God. It must have been a pretty interesting experience for you then.
And he just said, I have a free ticket. Do you want to come see it with me? And I just said, sure, whatever. I'll go see anything when it's offered like that. And I got to say, I loved it.
Good.
I don't like horror movies, really. I'm not someone who likes things that are like, you know, I'm not a slasher movie type person. I don't like, you know, I'm not someone who likes torture movies, but I thought it was so entertaining and fun.
Yeah.
I was having a blast at the movie. And I know, I just wanted to throw in, you didn't mention it, but I thought that the younger cast, the two guys and the girl,
mm-hmm.
in it, and I don't know their name, I thought they were really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I was just really impressed by how good they were at kind of holding the screen, because I'd never seen any of them before.
Yeah, yeah. They were all, so I talked to Don about that a couple of weeks ago when I had him on, and, you know, they're all unknowns. Like the whole younger cast members are unknowns, and he picked out some really, really talented people.
Yeah, I had a blast at the movie. I mean, everyone there, I think, knew of his other movies.
Right.
I mean, it was sort of like going to a Rocky Horror Picture Show and you don't know what to expect. But I immediately said, do you have his other movies? And he lent me Phantasm and Bubba Hotep, and I liked both those movies.
There you go. All right, Leslie.
So even if you don't think you are a fan, or it's like a specialty movie or something, I would say give it a try, because
okay.
It was really entertaining.
Great to hear. I'm glad to hear that. All right, stay inside, okay, Leslie?
Yes, I am.
Be safe. Okay, take care.
Bye.
Bye. There you go. God, that was a great call. I love that. Then she goes out and gets Phantasm and Bubba Hotep and likes those too.
Got a new fan.
God, that's awesome. All right. Colin, tell us about Side Effects.
All right. Well, Steven Soderbergh's latest movie. It's about a woman, Rooney Mara, whose husband, played by Channing Tatum, has just got out of prison for some bad Wall Street dealings. But she suffers from a sort of bipolar disorder, depression, and can't always function mentally or emotionally. Her doctor, played by Jude Law, prescribes a new kind of antidepressant that, of course, has numerous side effects. And he is also involved with the testing of another new drug, and he shares information with Rooney Mara's previous shrink, played by Catherine Zeta-Jones. But eventually, even though she's on this medication, Rooney Mara, she starts, you know, walking and cooking in her sleep, and then something happens, which I guess I won't give away because it takes the film into another direction. I guess some other critics have sort of, you know, been reluctant to say what happens.
Some have, and some haven't. It's kind of.
So it's kind of hard to talk about this movie without actually talking about it. So we can really, I think, really mostly talk about it as a Soderbergh piece, as an auteurist piece. And it's been, you know, written by many critics and was spoken about at the screening that this is kind of an amalgam of many of Soderbergh's other films. And, you know, a little bit of Sex, Lies, and Videotape, a little bit of,
the Ocean's movies, a little bit of, you know, Girlfriend Experience, a little bit of everything. But it makes the movie more interesting than, you know, it should be, I think. I think if Soderbergh's name wasn't on this but had the exact same script, I don't think, you know, people would be paying that much attention to it. That's not to say I don't like the movie. I do like the movie. I think it has elements of a good mystery, but I think I felt more involved with it in its first act than what it became after, you know, the big thing that happens. Because when everything sort of reveals itself, it's a little hard to swallow, but I think the cast manages to pull it off, and Soderbergh does too, to the extent that the script will let him. So I recommend this movie more as an interesting, you know, sidebar or footnote or, you know, conclusion, if you believe that, to Soderbergh's career than as a great mystery. So I recommend the movie, but I don't highly recommend it.
Okay. All right. Eric.
I do highly recommend the movie. And while I was watching the movie, I wasn't so much thinking about Soderbergh's past, but more just thinking about him in the present and how a director such as himself is able to bring so much more to material that in the hands of a far lesser director would just be, like the way Colin describes it, as sort of a kind of a throwaway mystery. There are at least three, maybe four other films that I thought of during the movie that the film sort of follows, treads very similar water with, but treads it much better because I think there's an underlying, not just sort of satire about the pharmaceutical industry, but also the sort of the position that we find ourselves in society far too often when things like these things that happen in the movie happen, where the blame game is being played. Where, you know, I thought of a lot of Michael Jackson's doctor during this movie and the idea of what he prescribed Michael Jackson that led to his death, and then all of a sudden he became the bad guy. And everything else that Michael Jackson may or may not have done in his past, just kind of erased. You know, all of a sudden we had a new bad guy to blame, and, you know, the sins of the past are forgiven. So there's a lot of that going on in the movie. And then as, you know, this back half of the movie, I think this all plays out, you know, really beautifully. I think Jude Law is great. I think this is the best thing Rooney Mara's done. Sorry, Dragon Tattoo fans. Even Channing Tatum plays the husband. Zeta has some fun with the role. But this is really, I mean, this really has become sort of Jude Law's movie. But, you know, encapsulating it's Soderbergh's film. And, you know, if this is the last movie he goes out on, yeah, it's very interesting to sort of tie it all in as a the big spectrum of his career and whatnot, and that's great. But I find it sad that, you know, we're not going to get interesting movies like this from a truly master director. I think this is my favorite film of the year so far.
Yeah, I'm with you, Eric. I think it's great. I was down the rabbit hole with this thing all the way, and it's a beautifully made film. And again, he shot it. What's his pseudonym now?
Peter Andrews.
Yeah, Peter Andrews. And yeah. He has a beautiful way with the camera. And I do think the performance and the direction are stronger than the script. I agree, Colin, to an extent. Had somebody else directed this movie, you said that if it wasn't his name, a lot of people wouldn't be as excited about it. But I don't think this movie would have been nearly as good if somebody else directed it. I think the strength of this movie lies in what Soderbergh did with it. And I feel that way about a lot of Soderbergh's movies where the scripts aren't necessarily as strong as his technique and his skills with filmmaking and editing and especially direction of actors, which I think he's terrific at. All the way back to Sex, Lies, and Videotape, where he got, I think, a pretty astonishing performance out of Andy McDowell, who I don't think is a very good actress. So I don't know. And I think, I don't think Channing Tatum's that great an actor, but I think he's good in this. Jude Law is fantastic in this movie. It's a tremendous performance, and there are a lot of levels that he's playing on. And I actually happen to be a huge fan of Rooney Mara. I loved Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and I think she's terrific in this movie. I went along for the ride. I liked the second half of the film. I think the last 10 minutes, some people might be blindsided by it. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
I kind of had this thing figured out at minute one.
I mean blindsided by in getting pissed off is what I mean.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? I'm not blindsided by what happens.
Okay.
But I'm saying, like, what the hell? You know, I think some people might be like, what the hell? You know?
Oh, interesting. I didn't think that.
Yeah, but I think it's a terrific movie, and I think there's a lot going on, and I do think that there is a – I do think it's kind of a nice summation of, a nice look back at a lot of the films that Steven Soderbergh has done in the past. I don't know if that was intentional or not. I don't think it was. I just think it's because he directed it that happened.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
He directed the movie, so that's going to happen. But I'm a huge fan of this movie. I think it's a great thriller. It's beautifully made. It's got great twists and turns that are expertly handled. It's just a damned entertaining movie, you know. And I'm a real big fan of it. I thought it was terrific. I thought it was great. So I can't recommend Side Effects more highly enough. And again, Jude Law rules in it. It's what was the last thing Jude Law was like really great in?
Contagion.
Yeah, he was, but he had that weird bum tooth. I kept getting so. You know what I mean? I just so distracted. Like every time I saw Jude Law, and Jude Law's terrific in it, but I'm like, what's with the tooth?
He's the best thing in the Anna Karenina film from.
Yeah. He was good in that. Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was good. I'm sorry. I just keep thinking of the Sherlock Holmes movies, and I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
So, but anyway,
his fault though.
I know that. I know that. So Steven Soderbergh, and again, if this is his last movie, that's sad. I mean, if you look back, the guy directed like 30 something movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I would. I'm not looking at his filmography right now. Well, you know what? I'm gonna.
Because there you go.
Let's just see. You know, let's just look back at this guy's career.
He's got a couple that are choice, but not many.
Yeah, I mean, I think this guy, for the most part, has made some really great movies.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna fly through these. We'll go back in time. All right, Magic Mike, good movie.
Yeah.
I like Magic Mike. Colin, you like Magic Mike?
Yeah.
Okay, I really liked it. Okay, all right.
It's got great moments.
Okay, I really, I'm a fan, so I'm going yes on that one. Haywire, yes.
Yes.
Okay, Contagion, yes.
Yes.
I don't know what the last time I saw Michael Gregg was. I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
The Informant, yes.
Terrific, yep.
The Girlfriend Experience, yes.
Great, yep.
Che,
No.
Ocean's 13,
I liked Ocean's 13.
Which one's that? That's Pacino, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I like that one. The Good German. Bubble. No, I like Bubble. Bubble was good. Bubble cost like $1.10.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Bubble. Ocean's 12. I know you guys hated it. I kind of liked it.
I don't hate it. It's okay.
Solaris, I liked.
I'd like Solaris.
I liked it.
Full Frontal. Ocean's 11, I like.
Yeah, Ocean Love is great.
Traffic, awesome. Traffic.
Perfect.
Aaron Brockovich, awesome.
Very good.
The Limey, great.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Sight, great.
Yeah.
Yep. Schizopolis, I love it.
I like it.
Underneath, love it. One of his most underrated movies.
Mm-hmm.
King of the Hill, awesome.
Yeah.
Great movie with what's his name? That Jesse Bradshaw kid. He was phenomenal
Bradford.
In that. Bradford, yeah.
Yeah.
Kafka, And Sex, Lies, and Videotape is still one of my favorite movies.
Really good.
I think that's still my favorite, Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
That might be my favorite Soderbergh movie. That one still might be my favorite Soderbergh movie. But that is a hell of a filmography.
Yep.
Even the ones that are not bad. They're just
Mainstream, experimental. I mean, it runs the gamut there.
Yeah. Amazing. Great filmmaker. He will be missed if this is indeed his last movie. So
yeah,
but this is a terrific movie. So go out on a high note, and he did. If this is his last movie, Side Effects is pretty damn terrific.
Although it does say on here on his biography, it says Behind the Candelabra, TV
that's the
movie.
The Liberace movie. Well, that's done already.
Right. And that's HBO.
Yeah, that's an HBO film, and that's with with Michael Douglas as Liberace and Matt Damon as his lover.
Yep.
And
Richard LeGrovenies wrote the screenplay.
That's right. So that'll be good.
There you go.
Yeah, so that we're done. We don't even need to see it. It's good.
Yeah.
Right. So, all right, well, there you go. Side Effects, highly recommended. All right, what do we got next week?
Next,
a Richard LeGravenny's movie.
Oh yeah, beautiful.
We do.
Beautiful.
And
beautiful
the new Die Hard movie.
The new Die Hard movie, and we got a Nicholas Sparks movie. What the hell is that one?
Safe Haven. Safe Haven.
The trailer for that just makes me laugh.
You mean Sleeping with the Enemy?
Yeah. I guess that's what it is. I guess it's Sleeping with the Enemy, but it won't be nearly as good. I like Sleeping with you. Joseph.
It only has to be 2.5 stars to be good.
Joseph Rubin directed the hell out of that movie.
Nah, I don't know.
Yeah, I did.
Not good.
All right. Well, and all these movies open on Thursday for Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Yeah, because you know Die Hard, such a romantic film.
You drop the woman off at Safe Haven, you go see Die Hard.
That's
like, there's your Valentine's Day present.
There you go. Although, I don't know if the Die Hard movie is going to be a present.
That's a good point.
I don't know. Yeah. So, all right, well, we got those movies. And again, if you want to go to the CFCA Awards, the big Hollywood, there's all going to be all kinds of stars at the MovieCo Theater. Go to MovieCo.com. Tomorrow night at 7:30, the dinner's at 5:30. There's all kind of different packages, $50, $35 for the dinner. There are very few seats available, but if you want to go there and see all the stars and hang out with the critics, and there's a party afterwards, a big, big, big Hollywood red carpet award show live in Rosemont tomorrow night. Go to MovieCo.com and get your tickets now. MovieCo.com. That's MUVICO. All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right.
And we'll talk to you next week. Have fun tomorrow night.
Thanks.
All right.
See you later. We will.
There you go. Eric and Colin at the Chicago Film Critic Association Awards at the MovieCo Theater in Rosemont. It's going to be a lot of fun. MovieCo.com if you would like to get your own tickets.